Experience, they say, is the best teacher. I would agree with that. The good thing is it doesn't have to be yours, so that's good. Experience is, no doubt, the best teacher, but it doesn't have to be your experience. The Bible says that we can learn from all of these examples that we have in the Old Testament, including good old Samson, as we kind of conclude his life in chapter 16 of Judges. So if you will turn to Judges chapter 16, we will get into our Bible study. We know that in chapter 13, as we got started, Samson was to be consecrated to be a Nazarite. He's to be set apart to take the vow of a Nazarite from before he was even born, in his mother's womb. He was to be set apart to the things of God. We know that the vow of the Nazarite involved three main components. One was no razor was to touch your head. And a lot of times they would only do this for 30 days up to maybe a year at a time. This was a somewhat unusual situation where he was to be set apart. But I think that's a great example. It's not that we're just supposed to be set apart on Wednesday evenings when we come to Bible study, right? We're not supposed to be different people when we get together here than when we're anywhere else. We're supposed to be set apart to the things of the Lord all day, 24/7. We belong to God. We were bought with a price, and the price was the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. So that's our understanding clearly from the New Testament. And so we see that kind of being portrayed for us in 100% commitment, 100% of the time in Samson's life. He was to be no razor to touch his head, so his hair was to just grow, which was to be an outward sign of that commitment that he has with Jesus Christ. So that was one of, or to God himself, to be set apart. That's one. The other thing was he was not to be around anything dead. You remember that would cause him to be ceremonially and otherwise unclean. So he wasn't to be around any corpse, and he couldn't even go to his parents' funerals or anything like that if that was to take place. No family funerals or anything. He was just stay away from corpses. Then there was also this one last thing. He was to stay away from the vineyards. He was to stay away from the fruit of the vine. He wasn't to eat raisins. He was just to stay completely away from all of that. Because that was to show, you know, this thing that he would be committed, basically, to the things of God. And he wasn't going to be caught up in just human celebration, but that he was to be focused on the Lord. Because they looked at that as just a part of human celebration and just the joy celebrated by the fruit of the vine. So we find all those things. We find that as we go along through chapter 14 and 15, we find out, well, gosh, that's kind of weird. He takes a shortcut and starts wandering through the vineyard. Bummer. Now he's violated that. So one out of three is shot because he's gone through and hung around the vineyard. Then it goes on a little bit further and we find out, remember how he killed the lion and then he came back later to the corpse, and we talked about that. It's just kind of a weird guy thing that we would do. Ladies, I don't expect you to understand that. I'm not perfectly clear on it, but I do get it a little bit because it's just something you do. And I shared with you last week, you know, even down on the beach, I'm watching these little kids. No one's parked their beach chairs or anything in this one area except for us. And then we look over and we find out why nobody else had parked. We stayed there anyway, but there's just a dead sea lion there that had washed up on the shore. All the little girls walk by, ooh, 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 not the little boys. And the little boys got their stick, and they're beating this dead sea lion and poking at it. And it's just natural. It's a normal thing. Well, Samson had to go check out the dead carcass and found out there was honey, remember, in the carcass. So now he's defiled himself because he's around the dead carcass. So two out of the three things have gone bad. Well, I know you know a little bit about the rest of the story. You remember it in the flannel graph stories of what happened to him. But we'll get into that as we get started tonight. We find that he actually, unfortunately, violates the third thing too. A razor ends up touching his head, and it was to be something that he was not to have done. Now, and we know clearly as we've gone through this, that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him, and he would be empowered by God to do miraculous things, really, to say the least. The Spirit of the Lord would just come upon him, and he'd be able to take on, you know, thousands of Philistines. He just was a strong guy, but he wasn't naturally necessarily built like some big, tough guy. That's not described for us at all. It's just that he had this supernatural strength that would come upon him as the Spirit of God would come upon him. Our need and our dependence on the Lord. And this was all part of the relationship that he had with God, of being consecrated, of being set apart, of then the Spirit would come upon him. There was a correlation between the two, being consecrated and the work of the Spirit. Being consecrated and the work of the Spirit. They kind of work together. And so that commitment that we have to follow the Lord and the Spirit coming upon him. Now, we've seen him go through a few girls here so far. And we've seen kind of the end result of some of the things that happened through that. And then now chapter 16, Samson goes out now, went to Gaza, and saw a harlot there and went into her. So he ends up having relations with this harlot. Now remember, we've talked about this. Adam, this big tough he-man, had a girl problem, to say the least, okay? Had a big she issue. So he went to Gaza. Now Gaza in this period of time is, and you know from, you can look on a map or you can see sometimes what's happening along the Gaza Strip, you know, it's a little band along the coastal area. And this was part of the Philistine country, but this was like, I don't want to name places in particular, because then I'll feel bad, because they're cool places, but they're kind of spring break type places. How's that? You know, you kind of get that picture, you see it kind of, you know, you see the debauchery going on at a lot of these spring break type locations. This beach area that's a big party place. Gaza was this kind of a beach area in that time period, this big party place. Now, brothers and sisters, if you have an issue with this kind of thing, if you've had a pattern and a tendency to kind of fall prey to that type of sin, is it a good idea to go to those kind of places? Probably an unwise decision. Samson, I might suggest to you, might be aware of his practices, okay? He's not disconnected from himself. But we have choices, and in those choices, we can choose to be wise. It's not like, you know, there wasn't the option in it. He doesn't have to go down to Gaza, but he wants, hey, it's spring break, going down to Gaza, you know, kind of a thing. Everybody, oh, my buddy's going to be down there too. I mean, I'm just going to go down there, you know. And he ends up getting caught up with this harlot there, gets caught up in the whole flood of what's happening. And when the Gazites were told, Samson has come here, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we will kill him. Not only does he go down there and he gets mixed up in this illicit interaction that he shouldn't be involved in anyway, and he falls prey to that, but he's putting himself also, if you'll notice, in other types of harm's way. You know, this is what sin does. Sin entices us. We go into this endeavor of sin, but then it leads to other problems too. It's usually not as cut and dry as we want it to be. And we'll see, because we'll conclude this chapter tonight, we'll see how just not cut and dry that can be. There are ramifications to your decisions and my decisions. There's results to them. And God is very gracious and God is very loving, but we'll watch when we go through this tonight. God is gracious, God is loving, but there are ramifications, there are results to the decisions that we make, both good or not quite so wise. There's results to those things. And man, all I can say for you, for me, for all of us, we want to walk in the Spirit and minimize the harvest that comes from a life in the flesh. You know, the fleshy decisions we make have ramifications. The Spirit decisions we make have ramifications. We want to have a spiritual harvest, start sowing things to the Spirit. If you keep sowing things to the flesh, you're going to reap that harvest. And this is what we're going to learn about tonight, of that continual practice of things that can just lead to destruction. And Samson lay low till morning, or till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts. These are big, man. These are big old hanging gates. The estimated weight is like 2.5 tons. I mean, so it's a lot. So a ton is approximately 22,000 pounds. So it's a lot of weight. 2.5 tons is a lot of weight. How much can you leg press? Okay, just think about it. How much can you leg press, guys? Man, this is way past any of that. So he takes hold of these things, pulls them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders, and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. So there are two places there that are speculative possibilities. There's one hill that's nearby where Gaza is, And then there's Hebron, which is further away. Hebron is about 40 miles away. That's a long way to carry a couple thousand, you know, or, you know, 5,000 pounds worth of stuff, 6,000 pounds. That's a long way to haul that. The closest hill is about 4.5 miles. Either way, long haul. You know, to me, either way, it's a big deal. That he got those things lugged up on his back is one thing in and of itself. Afterward, it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. Now, Sorek, another interesting place, and this is where he meets up with Delilah. It's kind of, Sorek's kind of a border community, Sorek is. Now, a lot of us have grown up near maybe border communities and know what border communities can be like. Somehow they just breed some really funny business, you know, border communities do. A lot of funny stuff goes on around border communities. You know, we used to go down and surf quite a bit just south of Tijuana, Mexico. We'd go down right out on along the coast there and get into, you know, just the little, they were little sea places, but now that's a little bit different. But they were just very obscure, Rosarita Beach and K-38 and down along there before you got to Ensenada. And Ensenada was nothing then, but now is, gosh, it's quite a whole nother, you know, mess to say the least. But these border communities, as a kid, they were a little bit different than they are now. But just a lot of stuff would go on. You know, you want to go get weird, you can go get weird down there. That was just kind of one of those kind of places if things were going to get kind of crazy. Oh, man, I've had some bad things happen in these places, some of which were not necessarily to me, but they involved me. I had friends that got thrown in jail down there. It was horrible. I've had some really bad experiences along there. Had some great surf, though. So it's kind of a, you know, good and bad. But it's a border community. And again, he's going down there, and it's known clearly. It's kind of like going to the beach party town. You know what you're going there to do, okay? Well, this border community was kind of known, the Sorek is kind of known in the same light. But he goes down, and this is where he meets Delilah. Interesting, her name basically means, in Hebrew, the root of it means to weaken or to impoverish. Good margin note to write for yourself. To weaken or to impoverish. In Hebrew, that's the root of her name means to weaken or to impoverish. Now, that's the kind of gal you want to get connected with, huh? It kind of makes sense right there to just steer the other way and stay away from that. But, you know, it is interesting. We've kind of noticed something as we've traveled along, and we're going to bring it out tonight and talk about it a little bit, but we've kind of noticed something about Samson. So far, he's violated two of his Nazirite vow commitments, right? Clearly, he's done that. And what's interesting is he kind of sets in this pattern. He's kind of connecting up with these gals and doing these things. And what kind of happens with sin, which is part of the blinding process of sin, which is demonic, it's satanic. This is where we have to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. We have to pay attention to our lives and the pattern of our lives. We have to be aware of what's going on around us, our thought processes. We have to tune in a little bit so that we know the ways of the Lord and the ways of our own flesh, so that we can be cautious to walk in His ways and not in our ways. Because one of the things that we notice is sometimes when we can go on and do certain things, say certain things, act certain ways, have kind of certain little pet sin things we get going or whatever it might be, that we think because God hasn't really judged me on that, because God hasn't really put the hammer down on me yet on this situation, because I'm just only lightly convicted if Pastor Jim brings it up at all or something, we cover it in Scripture. Whatever the case might be, whatever the situation might be, the thing that's interesting about it is we can get duped into that God's, it doesn't really matter. God's not concerned with that. That's not an issue to the Lord. Or, like David, falling into the pattern that he fell into, maybe started to think himself maybe above the rules. Maybe that just isn't going to apply to me. Many, 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 a man and woman, because God is moving, because God is blessing, because God's doing a good work, Because God's moving doesn't mean he's always approving. And you need to note that. God sees all, God knows all. And we need to walk in the light of that and know that. You know, when I walk in that and I'm aware of that, that is where true holiness sets in our lives. When I am aware, when you are aware, when we are aware of his presence, that where we go, what we do, we are bringing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into that very situation, that circumstance. He's right there with you in it. You've brought him into that with you. And when you're aware of that, it brings about a holiness in our lives. Is that really where I want to take the Lord? Am I really comfortable with the Lord being in this situation? And that brings a holiness into our lives. Well, Satan tries to numb that, anesthetize, you know, just enough to get you numb to that so that you eventually become blinded to the sin issue. I haven't been busted for it. Not a thing. Eventually, things happen. Let's go on. Afterward, it happened, and he met this gal, Delilah, down in border town. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him and find out where his great strength lies and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." Amen. We'll make this worth your while. Just find out where his strength really lies, that we might subdue him. So, to weaken or to impoverish, said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies, and with what you may be bound to afflict you." And Samson said to her, "If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like other men." So the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, and she bound him with them. Now men were lying in wait, staying within her room. And she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. It just snapped. He just jumped up and just snapped. So the secret of his strength was not known. So, first off, I believe we can see clearly here, one of Samson's biggest mistakes in this, and it's been going on for a bit, but now he's starting to really flirt with sin. Flirting with her, but flirting with sin. He's putting himself in a place of very, very dangerous ground. He's already blown it with 2 of the 3 things of the Nazarite. Now remember, one of the things that was so powerful, it wasn't in his hair itself. It was that the long hair was there for all to see, and it was evident to many that that was the vow of the Nazarite. This guy is a follower of God. God is with him. Let's break this down for ourselves. And this kind of comes in, you know, at different levels in our lives of different situations. But there are functions and there are things. There are things that go on, things we get invited to, things we get asked to be a part of, maybe. Where if we would simply say, you know what? I mean, I can't tell you the number of times on a job site that I would look at a guy and a guy would start to say, "Oh man, I've got this great joke." And I've been on way too many job sites. This is, you might as well be on a ship out to sea somewhere. I mean, job sites are a ship out to sea all on their own, okay? It's just bad news, jokes come up. You know, there's nothing good going to come out of this. Hold it. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm not interested. If this is real foul, dude, I'm out. I'm not interested. You see, that's taking your hat off and your hair out. That's letting them see who you are and what you're all about. We need to wear our Christianity. It says be clothed in the person of Jesus Christ. We need to wear it. Because, man, I'm telling you, that shuts down a lot of stuff. I've had people walk up to me on job sites and say, "Hey, man, this one, Jim, you're not going to want to hear this one." God bless you. Thank you very much. And I walk off. I bear no shame whatsoever. I walk away. I don't need it. You know what? I got so much trash in my mind from being in the world. I don't need extra garbage put in there. I got plenty to last me a lifetime or two. Okay? So I figure I'm done. Don't need that extra garbage. Get it out. The thing is, though, is a lot of times, because I learned early on, I would stand around not knowing exactly what was coming out of ignorance. Stand around, listen, and then this stuff, you get barfed on with all this nastiness, you know, and then now you got to deal with that. Best thing I learned was when someone told me just what I just told you. Tell them you're a Christian. You get invited to the kegger party. I know very few of you get invited to kegger parties. I don't know that. I really don't. But I don't get invited anymore. But when there were times when I could come out of the world and I was invited to the kegger party still, I would just tell them, hey, listen, you know what? If I stop by, I'm only going to stop by for a few minutes, and it's only because I want to say hi to a few of you. But look, I'm not interested. You know that I gave my life back to Jesus. And that I'm not interested. God delivered me from that, and I'm not going to be a part of that. It draws a clear line that needs to be drawn. What are you holding back? What are you holding on to that was so great about barfing in the, you know, being a commode hugger? What was so great about that? That wasn't that great an experience, getting all wasted and blowing your guts out. And, you know, was it that fun? No, it wasn't that fun. Again, it's self-anesthetizing. Why are we doing this kind of thing? The thought is if you and I don't want to keep getting invited, I don't know, I'm just weak, I just get invited and I can't tell them no, and I just, oh yeah, if you tell them what I just said, they'll stop by asking you. And just turn it around. You know what? I can't come. I'm a born-again believer, but I'd love to invite you and pick you up and take you to Bible study on Wednesday night. I'd love to pick you up and take you to church. I'll buy you lunch afterwards. There's a lot of options out there that if you can get that in there, he's flirting with stuff, isn't he? He's not really saying what's going down. He's not really saying what it's all about. He's just kind of enticing this, bringing this, luring this along. That's bad news. That's bad news. He's got no business messing around with Delilah to begin with. He's got no business with her. None whatsoever. To begin with, he's got no business with her. And then he just keeps playing along with this. Verse 10. Unfortunately, this is where that personal deception starts to set in. Because each time he's playing with this sin, but he's standing up. Spirit's coming on him. He's breaking the binds, the things that are binding, the things that he's bound with. Right? Does that mean God's approving where he's at and what he's doing? We certainly know that wouldn't be true, right? Brothers and sisters, do you see what I'm saying? That's the that's the blindness that starts. That's the cataract that starts to get cloudy in your eye. You can't see quite so well. That's the beginning of the blindness that starts to set in. Hey, it's not that big a deal. Well, God must, it must be cool, you know? Maybe the rules changed. Maybe God changed the way he saw this stuff. You know, who knows what goes into the mind on this? Then Delilah said to Samson, look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with. And so he said to her, if they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak like other men. Therefore, Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him. Now notice, each time he says this, she does that. Will you note that with me? Each time she says this, he says something to her about it. She does it. Just watch the pattern that's happening. So, she binds him with these new ropes. They've never been used. And after this, she says, the Philistines are upon you, Samson, in the middle of verse 12. And men were lying in wait, staying in the room, but he broke them off his arms like a thread. Just snap again. Again, getting a little cloudier. Vision's getting less clear. Must be all right. So far, everything's going like supposed to. Why would I stop? So far, everything's business as usual. Delilah said to Samson, until now you have mocked me in verse 13 and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with. And he said to her, if you weave the seven locks of my head into the web of the loom. So she wove it tightly. Now, we're getting wait a minute. Brothers and sisters, we're getting dangerously close to the matter right now. We're getting really close to what's at the heart of this. We're getting closer. Sin is starting to grind him down and grind him down. He's getting dangerously close, dangerously close. It's just wearing it down. It's just wearing it down. This is why repentance is so important. This is why true repentance is so important. To turn away from and run the other direction. Look at how great it was. I just cheer when I read through and see how Joseph handled himself with Potiphar's wife. I just cheer every time I read that. Run like the wind, Joe. You know? I mean, I'm excited. Go, dude. But you know, that's the way you feel. Like, just get out. Run on, man. Good for you. You see, this is the thing. It just wears you down. Satan just wants to wear you down. But as soon as you stand up and say, wait a minute, I'm not part of this. I'm not going to be a part of this. What ground is there to stand on? The enemy's little foothold, the ledge that he's been standing on, it doesn't exist anymore. When you just stand and say, you know what? No way. I'm done. I don't want anything to do with this. The Spirit of the Lord right there with you. He'll meet you there. God will meet you there, and I guarantee it. I've had the Lord meet me there many, many, many a time, right at that very spot. And it's important to have that kind of heart. So she wove it tightly in verse 14 with the batten of the loom and said to him, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. Just immediately just shook himself free from it. Boom, off and running again. She said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? Ooh, it's getting bad. You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies. And it came to pass, verse 16, when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. I mean, she just whined him to death. It's that kind of thing. She just ground him down and 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 ground him down. And it just was just too much. But this is what happens with the enemy. This is how the enemy works. Now the blindness is just totally there. And what is the blindness to? Let's read on for a second because this gets kind of interesting. In verse 17, he was vexed to death that he told her all his heart. He was just so pressed by this, so he just told her all his heart. Bad news right there in this situation. We've talked about this swapping treasure concept and the importance of it. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You need to be really wise and cautious. Keep your treasure to yourself. Share with your spouse. Other than that, no need. Talk to God, and that's it. Guys, that's why you have guy friends. Gals, that's why you have gal friends. Other than that, it can turn to nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble. We don't need to have much of, I don't need any other friends that are women other than my wife, and I've said, been very clear about this. I've got Mitch's girlfriend, Donica. I'm very good friends with her. My daughter-in-law, I interact with her. My mom, I used to. She's gone. She's gone to be with the Lord. My sister, my nieces, I interact with all my nieces. And I have good relationship with a lot of you. It's just an interactive relationship. But there is a fine line. You cannot talk about certain things. If you start talking about certain things, I'm going to point you right to the ladies in the fellowship. Because it's not my business. It's too much. It's things that the Lord can resolve between you and it's why? Because now all of a sudden people start swapping treasures and it's not good. And it's bad because people start following after that. It's the best thing you can do, Say, I'd get some good friends that are same-sex friends that you can visit with and talk with. Or you, with your spouse, it's very important that you are open with your spouse. Samson now here tells her all his heart and said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head. Now, remember, he's swapping this with to weaken or to impoverish. It seems like a good idea? No, it makes no sense. Blindness sets in and sense is out the door. The enticement is there. The lures, the hook's been set. No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. Now, stop for a second. Put a period there. Think with me for just a moment. Do you think Samson's an idiot? Yes, in certain ways. Yes, I agree. Do you think he's not aware of the pattern, though, that's gone on? I said this, she did that. I said this, she did that. I said this, she did that. What do you think is going to happen the fourth time? I said this. Do you think he doesn't think she's going to shave his head? Well, one, blindness is set in, no doubt, so that we're not clear whether he's just duped into thinking, you know, maybe that's not going to happen, or that he's just gone into this concept of, hey, nothing's going to change. So far, nothing's changed all the way through this process. I'm carrying on in sin, and it just doesn't matter. God doesn't care. God doesn't see it. It's not an issue. He's not judging it. There's no ramifications from it. Man, we need to be wise. We need to be aware. God's time clock ticks a little different than yours and mine. It ticks on His time. And this is why it's so important to be sowing seeds in the Spirit. A spiritual harvest will come up. And what I'm talking about is not acting upon the fleshly desires, but to be doing things in the Spirit and led by the Spirit. And you will begin to reap the harvest of the Spirit. And those little bleeps that happen once in a while to all of us, where you've done something in the flesh, I know God's gracious and stuff, and it's good. There's still a little sting to that. You know, there's the effect of it, but certainly not that which is year after year after year after time after event after circumstance after situation where it just keeps going on, and which has been the pattern with Samson thus far. Did he think that he was above this? Was he thinking he was an exception to the rule now? Very possibly. He's caught up thinking, hey, I'm past this. This isn't really going to, nothing's going to happen even if she shaves my head. You know? That's the lie. That's the satanic aspect of it. Because, yes, there will be ramifications. He had already violated two of the three vows. With really no immediate repercussion. There's been no real immediate repercussion at this point. That to me, there is God's grace. We see God's grace in that. God, the Bible says, will not be mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that he will reap. God will not be mocked. I don't know for you, but for me, I fear God. I do. I fear God. I have reverent respect for who God is. I fear God in that sense. I don't want to keep doing things that would be fleshy. I don't want to have those kind of problems because it's horrible. Living with those, dealing with those results is a big hassle and a big bummer. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines saying, come up once more, for he has told me all his heart. And so the lords of the Philistines came up. They brought to her the money that they promised her. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his head. Interesting. They're no doubt a bit tired of the process, a bit worn down from the circumstances. Being ground down, being ground down. And every one of these things, he placed himself in those situations. He could have just gotten up and left, which would be the counsel. Get up and leave. That's what that's what he should have done, but he didn't. And every time he was ground down a little bit further. And now, isn't this just what the enemy does? Lulls us to sleep. Blindness is set in. We don't even see the sin anymore because we think there's no immediate repercussions for it, so no big deal. Should he have been asleep with his head on her knees? Or should he have been awake on his own knees? Is a big question, huh? Think about that. That's where he should have been, what he should have been about. She's now taken from him that outward visible sign to others of his commitment to the Lord, being consecrated, set apart to the Lord. You know, we've been given armor and stuff, you know, and we read about that in Ephesians chapter 6, and the armor that we have as Christians. And I kind of liken it into this. There's things that we do that we can keep moving in the Lord, but there's going to be chinks in our armor sometime. And that's not necessarily just from the battle raging. It's from self-inflicted things, chinks in the armor. Things where we've gotten ourselves in spots where we shouldn't have been, engaged in things we shouldn't have been engaged in, said things, done things, been a part of stuff, whatever that amounts to. And it just kind of, you can liken it to this, maybe look at it like, it's a little bit of a setback. You ever had that reoccurring argument with your spouse? That one that comes in this different box wrapped differently each time, but it's the same argument. It's the same beef. It's the same discussion. It's the same thing. It's just wrapped in a different box. Then you fall prey to getting caught up in that again. But then when it's all said and done, you really, I think we're talking about the same thing we talked about 30 years ago, you know, 25 years ago, you know, 20 years ago, 15 years ago. We're talking about the same thing. When will we learn, you know? We just keep unwrapping the same dumb box, and it's stupid. It just came wrapped different this time. Well, eventually you start catching on that the enemy's doing that, you know, trying to trip your trigger and trick you into these things, and the enemy's, you know, playing off everybody's flesh and all that stuff. But didn't you ever walk away just like, that's just such a setback? You feel soiled by it, you know? People get ugly, and it's not fun, and it's no good. So much better, isn't it? When you know the times. Brothers and sisters, you know the times. When you didn't say that cutting thing that didn't need to be said. When you just didn't say it. When you didn't snap about it. And you know what that felt like too. Like, oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, God. You helped me. I wasn't the idiot I normally am. Thank you, Jesus. You know? And that's the victory, the sense of victory. And I think it's important to grasp that and know that sense. I know it, and to remember that and to move a little more cautiously, a little less quick, you know. Satan's always pushing us to move fast on that. Move fast on it. Move fast on it. Oh, why? Usually that's when I get in trouble. Too quick usually leads to big problems for me. And here he finds himself lulled to sleep. And then she began to torment him, and his strength had left him. She began to torment him, and his strength is now gone. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." Isn't this the truth? If it's not highlighted, if it's not marked, mark this last part. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. When we're blinded, we're usually the last to know. When sin has overtaken us in those areas, we're usually the last to see it. Steps up as if, yeah, I'm just going to go take him. Then realizes, man, this isn't going to happen this time. I don't have the strength that I thought I had. The Lord has departed. What a sick, sinking feeling that must have been that the Lord had lifted himself away from him. David, in his psalm, and we sing this, "And cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me." You know, that's really where it's at. And being in that spot where, cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. I've walked not with God, and it's not good. It wasn't good. It didn't go well. And I knew when I came back to the Lord, that was all I asked was, Lord, man, you know, I don't want to forsake you. You know, we sing that old hymn, knowing, you know, that our hearts are prone to wander. I think the enticement of sin is the deception that I'm okay. We're not okay. We're only okay in Him. I'm okay in my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm okay in Him. I'm secure in Him. That He is safety zone. Jesus is where it's at. In that ongoing, continuing to develop relationship with Jesus Christ, that's where the safety is. Everything else is out from underneath the umbrella. And you're going to get soaked. Here, he doesn't even realize how blind he was. And the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. They plucked out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. It's interesting that they plucked out his eyes. You know, I mean, it was the very thing that got him in so much trouble to begin with, isn't it? And they bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. Basically, he was hooked up like a beast of burden, and he just would walk around grinding grain type stuff. That was all he ended up doing, round and round and round in circles. Going round in circles and bound. However, the hair of his head began to grow back after it had been shaven. Now, it is interesting that now his hair is starting to grow back. That identification with the presence of God, that's starting to grow back. The hair is starting to grow back. And again, we sometimes think, oh, okay, see, there's the grace of God. And it's, you're right. You're seeing the right thing. The grace of God is there. You know, he's this evidence of this relationship. You can bet he's been humbled. You can bet he's in that spot of really seeking the Lord now. You can bet that. But I want to ask you something. Brothers and sisters, as we read through this and conclude, I want you to tell me when we're done, did he get his eyesight back? Did he get his eyes back? As we read through this, there's a cost to sin. There's a price to be paid. And then we either accept the price that was paid on the cross for our sin and walk in the newness of life, in the freedom that we have in the grace and the mercy of God. But grace is not to be a cloak for vice. It's not to be a covering. Well, I can do that and just ask God to forgive me later. That is a backwards thinking. That is not what God's called us to. You see, the interesting thing about going down to that border town was, where is the line? Where is the border? Where really is that line? See, oftentimes the heart is wickedly deceitful above all things, Jeremiah said. And I believe that to be true, that we can kind of talk ourselves into these things. We can start thinking through these ideas, and we can start getting ourselves thinking, yeah, I wonder, you know, well, how many beers is too many beers? How much can I flirt but not really fall into sin? Read through this. You figure it out. Zero is wise. That's not to be condemning because someone has a glass of wine or a beer or something. That's not the point. The point is when the heart goes into this idea of how many can I have and still not be fallen to sin. For me, zero's better. Zero's plenty. I've drunk enough to cover for everybody's life here, at least one lifetime's worth, for all of us. I've taken care of everybody here. You're covered. You don't need to do it. It's been taken care of. And it's been taken care of on the cross on top of that. We just don't need to. There's no need. What is the purpose in exercising the freedom? That's what you got to think through. That's what a responsible believer does, thinks through their actions. What is the value in it? So you just got to think through that, because it really can be very difficult for some, and so therefore, then what's the value? Now, the lords of the Philistines gathered together in verse 23 to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy." Sin gives the enemy of God and causes them to rejoice. Sin gives the enemy of God a cause to rejoice. And that's something you have to remember. Your sin, my sin, our sin. When we do things in the flesh, it can give the enemy of God a room to rejoice. You see how messed up they all are? They can't even get along, man. You see how messed up they are? When if we just zip it, not going to be that big a problem, is it? But you know, that's the way the flesh is. And man, it just gives edging to this, and they mock God. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead." And so it happened, when their hearts were merry, that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may perform for us." So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. What a humiliating mess, huh? And they stationed him between the pillars. And then Samson said to the lad who led him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars which support the temple, so I can lean on them." Now the temple, now he's got to be led around. Think about this. He's got to be led around for all this. He can't see a thing. But maybe he's seen more clearly than he's ever seen. Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there. About 3,000 men and women on the roof watching while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, "Oh Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray. Just this once, oh God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple and braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol and the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. Surely the enemy had blinded Satan at some point. But surely, in its conclusion, sin always brings about death. Something's got to die. Jesus told us, if we're going to be followers of him, to take up our cross, and deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him. If we're going to follow the Lord, something's got to die. And it's die to self. Paul the Apostle says, crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. You see, Paul doesn't play with those words. He doesn't mamby-pamby around with it. Samson was born with great potential, wasn't he? Samson had great potential. And yet, really somewhat of a tragic conclusion to his life. His eyes are plucked out. He's humiliated. He's bound. He's just walking around in circles. And look what the end result was. But finally, ultimately, he dies with the Philistines. Something's got to go. And sin always brings death. When lust is first conceived, it gives birth to sin, James said. When lust is first conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin always brings death. Something's got to die. The thing is, The greatest thing, the good news is that Jesus died for our sin. That Jesus took that sin upon himself on the cross. And that we can walk in the newness of life. That can be ours in him. This is the concept, is we've been set free from the bondage of sin and death, that we might choose and might be able to walk in his Spirit. That's a choice. That's a choice for us to choose to walk in his Spirit. And so it's kind of interesting when we look at this and we see, man, this guy's life, what a mess. But look at how it went through. These were all choices that Samson made every step of the way. Is Samson a victim in any of this that you read? Is he a victim in any of this? I ask you, challenge yourself, challenge your mind, because all I hear all the time is how everybody's a victim of something. That's our world is spinning off of this. Well, this happened, and cloth diapers, and then it was, you know, all the reasons that everything went wrong in life. And this happened, and that happened, and this happened, and that happened. You know, that's life. A lot's happened to a lot of us. Life's happened. Life has happened to a lot of us, and some of it's not so good. But this is the world in which we live. Life happens. But blessed be the name of the Lord. We can say that. And we may say it with tears in our eyes, but we can say it. Praise God, we serve a risen, resurrected, powerful, glorious God who is alive and well and sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf, praying for you and for me. I read about how Jesus prayed for Peter when he was telling him, Peter, you're going to blow it bad, dude. Those are my words, but that's basically what he said. Peter, you're going to blow it, dude. No way. It's not going to happen. Not me. I'll go to death if that's what you're... Absolutely. I'm on with you, Lord, you know. No, you're going to blow it, dude. And then can you imagine, he just kind of looks at Peter and goes, Peter, Luke's account. I love Luke's account. Peter, but I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And after you have suffered, strengthen the brethren. You're going to fail. I'm going to fail. We're going to fail. Let's fail forward. That's when we stumble and fall. Let's fall forward. Let's fall into the arms of the Lord where the strength really is. Let's come clean. Let's come clean when we fail. Let's say, God, you know what? I agree with you. You're right. I don't know anything. Man, there's freedom in that. Confession. Confession is agreeing with God. See, this is what we missed, you know, in those spots with Samson, you know? We see him live out a wonderful, powerful time, no doubt, at the conclusion. But it's kind of a bummer conclusion to a life that started with such tremendous potential. This decision led to this event. If you're tired of that, start making different decisions. That's what I did. I just started making different decisions. Started thinking through, Lord, what would you have me do with this situation? What's going to please you? Man, that's the way to get out of that rut, that bad cycle. The Lord can move. Father, we do thank you tonight for all that you're doing, and we just ask that you would continue to minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen.